Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
All right, my minions, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is good to be with you on a Saturday morning. You've stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world. Doesn't get any better than this. Hopefully my voice hangs on for the next 2 hours. I woke up this morning with one of those crazy frog voices, so I do apologize in advance for that. And also, we welcome our newest affiliate, Mr. Indiana Talks, we've had a lot of fun with them. All right, now we're good to go. Welcome back to the. Woo! It is Saturday morning. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. Welcome to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and we're ready to rock and roll. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world. On top of that, we have all of our affiliate radio stations, and TuneIn, iTunes Radio, and so forth. We've got a great show planned for you today. First of all, let me apologize for my voice. I woke up this morning with one of those frog voices, and hopefully I can make it through the show. We've got a great show for you today. Mr. Walter Cox from ESPN, NASCAR ESPN, pit reporter for NASCAR, is going to be joining us, as well as Cliff Tanner with Radio Speed Talk going to be joining us. Going to be talking to some racing guys. The big boys are down there in Martinsville, and we're going to be talking about that race as well. And I believe we have Indiana Talks on now, so it's good to have you guys on board with us. If you guys want to talk some racing, 917-889-8516. Would love to talk with you. I'd love to talk with you a little bit about some racing. Also, in the second hour, guys, we're going to get into this whole conversation. I want to know, is Bobby Knight back? Well, we'll talk about that in the second hour, because maybe not Bobby Knight himself, but certainly Bobby Knight in the attitude and format of Rutgers University. We're going to talk about that, obviously, the Final Four. We're going to get into that. Wichita State, the Shockers, the Cardinals. And we're just going to really dive into the March Madness and the bracket busters and everything that's been going on with March Madness. So stick with us, guys. I'll tell you what, I promise you my voice, as long as it hangs out, we'll have a great show today. And if you want to check us out on Twitter, T Balance, and as well as our various other, you know, I wanted to point this out real quick. We started a brand new show on Thursday. Had a great time with it. Also over there on Indiana Talks, it's called Hot Corner. And every Thursday night between 6 and 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio and throughout our affiliate radio stations, we will be talking baseball. all the baseball that you can possibly soak up. And so we hope that you join us. And you can follow us on Twitter on that at Two Hot Corner, guys. So good to have you with us today, guys. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to be jumping right into some racing with Cliff Tanner from Radio Speed Talk. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh. All right, and welcome back to the Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, and I tell you what, it is good to have you guys on board with us today, and we're going to be talking some racing, we're going to be breaking down, and also joining us is Mr. Cliff Kenner of Radio Speed Talk. Cliff, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Bobby Knight, really, come on, man. All he did was throw a chair across the floor, man. Are you going to compare that guy to Bobby Knight, really?
I tell you what, I don't know how to quite take all this stuff that's been going on over there at Rutgers University. We're gonna certainly dive into it in hour number two. And by the way, we want to make sure that all of our affiliate stations can hear us and so forth as well. But I got this weird thing from my producer that says that some of our affiliates can hear us and some of us can't. So hopefully that they're working that on that in the background, I guess. I'm ready to throw a chair this morning. I woke up this morning, Cliff, and I had one of those Cliff voices, if you will.
I was just gonna say you give me a hard time about my voice sometimes. And look at you.
I tell you what, you know, the guy who has the best voice of all, the best voice in radio, is Mr. Walter Cox from ESPN, pit reporter from ESPN. Walter, how you doing, sir?
Good morning. I've always heard I had a face for radio.
Hey, I've seen your face, and I totally agree with you, sir. You have a face for radio. So are you down there in Martinsville? What's going on, sir?
We are down in Martinsville. I'm assuming I'm still in Martinsville because when I flew in on Thursday, it was snowing and sleeting and icing. I've never seen anything like it. But now the weather's back to where it's supposed to be, and the sun's shining, and we're looking forward to a good truck race today.
I thought the truck race was yesterday.
No, that was qualifying.
Oh, qualified. See, I tell you what, you guys make me look good, that's for sure.
I understand. There's some other sports going on that you have to take care of, but for us, you know, that's just kill time in between races.
I'm going to tell you what, nothing comes second to you, Walter, that's for sure. Hey, Walter, I heard you had a new addition to your family.
Oh, that's right. Our godson was born this week, and welcome him into the world. He's a big race fan already. They got to come home yesterday, so it was a special time in the Cox family.
Well, you know what? I had a new addition to my family this week as well. I had a new niece born. My brother's daughter was born, so that makes her my niece. One of 22 nieces and nephews that I have. So.
My goodness, what a family.
Well, there you go, all in the same week. Cliff, did you have any new additions to your family?
No, man, I'm losing family. No, I'm just kidding. No new additions, man. No new grandkids. I'm cool. I'm going to stay that way for a while.
All right. Well, guys, let's get right into this. Obviously, and I want to – I think now we're back on our affiliate stations. And I'm not an engineer. I'm one of those guys that talk and just keep talking. And I figure sooner or later people smarter than me have things figured out. But we're back on our affiliate stations, and I have no idea what happens. All I can tell you is we are now national, and we are now nationwide. Don't you like how I just kill time until we get everybody back up and running, and then we can see that you guys, us in radio behind the scenes, know what we call that. We call that stalling. Talk about babies. Talk about. Talk about Walter and his sleety. Talk about him being at Hooters last night. Oh, I'm sorry, Walter. We weren't supposed to get him.
Oh, boy. Broadcast professional, huh?
That's right, buddy. Well, we're out in Martinsville today. Walter and Clint was joining us. We're going to be talking about the big race in NASCAR this week. Jimmy J getting yet another pole. Walter, talk to us a little bit about qualifying, obviously.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated.
That wasn't supposed to happen, guys.
You felt like a commercial?
Oh my goodness! I asked Walter a question and then go right to a commercial. So
I'm feeling the love here, Tom.
It's one of those mornings, guys. Welcome to the Ballast. We'll start over. Jimmy Johnson getting a pole out there in Martinsville. Hopefully we'll get all the kinks worked out.
Well, you know that racing is just like wrestling. It's real. Well, Mr. Five-Time on the pole, does that surprise you? I read the script yesterday. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I tell you, though, that team, they take such a surprising approach to qualifying and practice sessions. And it amazed me in Daytona. They chose not to go out and practice with the pack in the draft and everything, unless they absolutely, you know, maybe one or two runs just to get the field, but that was it. And they really approach practice sessions in the same way on smaller tracks. They don't go out and do what everybody else does. They have an agenda. They have everything written. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And that's how they approach their practices, and boom. I mean, during the practice, the only practice they had was the one yesterday. He was fastest in that practice and kept everything together and went out and backed it up and took the pole. But I got to tell you, my surprise of the week, Marcus Ambrose starting second. He was eighth in practice, and I'm telling you, he's not just a road course specialist. I think he's going to shock a lot of us, and who knows, he can come up with a win this weekend.
All right, Jimmy Johnson takes the pole. Cliff, talk with us a little bit about your thoughts about that while I try to regain my voice. Go ahead, Cliff.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, Walter's right. You're not going to find a better duo in NASCAR right now although I got to say Brad Keselowski and Paul Wolf are coming up. The point, what I always used to say with Tiger Woods is Tiger was way up for a long time, and then he's down, and everybody couldn't figure out why. Well, it's not his personal life. Everybody learns how to play up to that game, and that's what's going on in NASCAR right now. But Walter's right. Jimmy Johnson is just phenomenal, and Chad Knauss, I should say that as well. But they're phenomenal on their approaches to races and things like that, and they're always going to be a force, barring any bad luck, whether they get turned or they have equipment failure. You can't stop that. But Jimmy Johnson is a favorite. He's won here several times. He's got poles here several times. He's a specialist all the way around, and I got to say, Marcus Ambrose getting second, that's awesome. I always felt that guy's got the talent to be in the top 20 drivers, in NASCAR, and I would love to see him win one. And I've interviewed that guy several times, and he's got to be one of the nicest guys in NASCAR. I just love his enthusiasm, whether he finishes 43rd or second or first or whatever. He's just always looking forward to improving himself. You got Brian Vickers again coming in, becoming that short racetrack specialist for Walter Bracy. So it's going to be an interesting race to see what happens. But a good thing for Joey Logano is he's up fourth and Tony's down a ways, so he might be okay for a while.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the truck series, as we know. And you know what? For some reason, I did think that the truck series was yesterday. And thanks, Kitty, there. I mean, I did it. I was trying to do it there, Cliff, but I did it. I always get you guys confused, but Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, thank you so much for making me sound better today. You and Walter both. You know, my mom's a nurse, and she used to talk about when she was in nursing school that they would actually talk about how when you have a little infant, you'd put if you could put another child or another infant in there at the same time if they're close to age, if they're sick or crying or whatever. The other one would calm down then at that point. So what I'm saying to you is you actually are the other infant in the playpen with me, and you, you make me better. You and Walter both make me better. I woke up this morning without no voice, and you guys are helping me out a million. So Jeb Burton wins the pole out there in Martinsville in the truck race. Let's talk about the truck race, Walter. We don't get a chance to really dive into those truck races as much as we'd like to. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about today's truck race and what's going on with that.
First, thanks for calling me a baby in the crib.
Sure.
Glad I could be in there with y'all. I don't blame you for thinking the truck race was yesterday, because they usually race on Friday, Nationwide Saturday, and Cup on Sunday. So that was force of habit. You was used to that. So they shocked us. Nationwide being off this weekend, the trucks are going to race this afternoon. Jeb Burton with his first pole. And those who don't know, that's Ward Burton's son. And Ward shows up. I saw him in Daytona. It's good to see him. He's doing a lot of stuff out in the woods with his Wildlife Foundation. But he's still in touch and in contact with the racing world. The only Cup driver that I see that's going to be in today's field is Kevin Harvick, and he'll start back there in 16th in his tied Chevrolet. But I tell you, this truck race is so exciting to me personally because they let them race. They let them go. They let the boys be boys. They go out there and beat and bang, and it's pure racing like it's supposed to be. You know, nobody just spins them out of the way on purpose. It happens. Oops, I got into you. Oops, I got into you again. Oops, oh, it happened again. So on this little flat track, I really enjoy the racing here. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, it is good to see the truck and the NASCARs in the same track again this year. This is the first time we've seen that this year. And Kevin Harvick, you talk about Kevin Harvick. He obviously is no stranger to the truck race. So Cliff, talk with us a little bit about Kevin Harvick. Obviously, he always fights for the top speed, and Burton beat him out on that. But Kevin Harvick is certainly a person to contend with in the truck races.
Well, most definitely. I mean, you know, I think next to Jimmy Johnson, he's one of the best passers there is in NASCAR right now. I mean, that's why they call him the closer. Look what he's done in the past winning races at the end. Kevin Harvick is always going to be a guy that can contend with. However, starting down the 16th, it might be a little hard. But, you know, again, you got a bunch of rookies out there right now. I think there's four or five rookies out there right now. And if they start beating and banging and, you know, start hitting walls and stuff like that, I mean, you could go from 40 or 36 to first in a matter of laps, depending on what's going on in pit strategy and all that. But he's always going to be one to be contended with. I think he's just, you know, trying to learn and keep racing and keep going the best he can and try to, you know, get a little more experience so he can get into the cup car. But, you know, again, you're also looking at a lame duck guy, and he's just going to keep racing and just keep trying to get better for where he goes next year and see what happens. But I got to tell you, the front row, it's Darrell Wallace Jr. had the pole until the last guy, and that was Jeff Burton. And I got to tell you, Jeff Burton is going to show his father how it's done, because that boy is the future of NASCAR right there.
And, Walter, what are your thoughts on that, on what Cliff is saying there?
Yes, Jeb is definitely an up-and-comer. And I'm really excited and looking forward to the rookie class that's coming up this year. Jeff being a rookie, Darrell Wallace being a rookie. Who else we got here? Jermaine Kiroka, Brendan Newberry, Ryan Blaney. He's a real up-and-comer. I think, personally, my feeling, NASCAR is in a transition right now. We're going out with the old, coming in with the new, and all this new talent up and coming. The next two or three years, man, NASCAR's going to be back on top, and we're going to see it exciting just like it's supposed to be, like it's been lacking in the past couple of years.
Well, absolutely, and we talked about that over at IndyCar, on the IndyCar section there with me and Cliff and Kenny. We have talked about the new up-and-coming drivers like James Hinchcliffe and some of the new ones, and obviously we saw the grill driver do a great job. That's our name for her, Walter. We can't pronounce her name, so we just say the grill driver. We're not even speaking about Danica. You know, so let's talk about the Martinsville race. Obviously, a real popular race, a real popular track out there in Martinsville. So, Walter, what I want you to do is walk us through some qualifying with the big guys, and what can we look for, and what are some of the X factors there in Martinsville this week?
Oh, I got to tell you, Martinsville, and then you put in parentheses, the payback track. It is a place where you can bump and get away with it because, you know, you get a little loose. Oops, I'm sorry I got into you. Oops, it happened again. I love this place because, unless you just make it blatantly obvious, you can get your payback here. You can let that other guy know, hey, I didn't forget about 3 weeks ago. Oh, it is so amazing. These drivers have memories like elephants. They'll be driving on a track like today or tomorrow, and they'll get into somebody, and the thought in his head is, hey, do you remember when you spun me out 3 years ago in Fontana on lap 256? Well, there you go.
So
are
you trying to imply, Walter, that we might see a little bit of five-hour energy this week?
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? I don't know. But Cliff, if any place it was going to happen, this is going to be the place it's going to happen.
Hey, Cliff, I know we've talked about this a lot, and we've actually, here at The Balance, we've actually got, you know, like how when baby, I'm on this baby kick today, I don't even know why, but you know how when babies are born, you do the office pool as to when they're born? We've got a little office pool as to when the rematch will happen between Jeff Gordon and Cliff Bowyer. Cliff, what are your thoughts? Is this the week it's going to happen?
Yeah,
you know,
it's very well.
It's funny because you come and see, Sunday morning, part of my job is the people in our section who we are responsible for on pit road. I have to go interview the crew chiefs, the drivers, the teams and such. And that's one of the biggest questions I always ask the crew chief for a little short track like this. Used to, back in the day, you would bring what we would refer to as disposable cars. But now they'll tell you, there's no such thing as a disposable car anymore. You have to bring your best every weekend to be up front. So that being the case, if Clint Boyer, for example, is having a good race and he's in the top five or leading, no, I don't think he will make the effort to get his payback. But if he's got a brake issue, he's two or three laps down, back in 32nd place, oh, yeah, he might get into somebody a little harder than usual.
And that's somebody being one Jeff Gordon. Cliff, go ahead. I'm sorry. I know you were getting ready to answer that question earlier, a while ago. So go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. I'm with Walter. I don't think it's going to happen until we're closer to seeing where the points are going to be. Because, you know, neither guy wants to take a chance of losing any points at this point in time, especially where they're sitting in the points race. But the one I think you're going to have to watch out that you've been so kindly avoiding is the Logano of Tony Stewart situation. I think Tony Stewart at this point.
You picked up on that, Cliff.
If Tony Stewart gets an opportunity to get him, now, and that's a question for Walter when I finish here, Walter, but have you heard any vibes down there about what's going on between those two? Has Tony calmed down at all?
Yeah, Tony has calmed down a bit. I got to tell you, though, I had no idea last year how bad Joey Logano was picked on as far as his own team, his team members, his teammates. He was picked on even at the shop, you know. I was so glad for him to get out from underneath that at Joe Gibbs and come over here to Penske. But now he's still being picked on by his fellow drivers, and that man is on a mission. He is tired of being picked on. He's going to show everybody, yes, I can win. Yes, I can make things happen. And, whoo, I would not get in front of him this weekend.
Well, I tell you what, it was good also to see last week, and Walter, I know you're a NASCAR guy, but I just kind of want to make this as a point of reference. I can't even speak today, as we all know, that James Hinchcliffe wins his first IndyCar race in the GoDaddy car, and we always, whenever I get these updates, they'll say, oh, well, you know, for example, I'm just using this as an example. Jimmy Johnson wins pole, Clint Boyer, Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch. And then number 46 is Danica Patrick.
Her ass is so hot, I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
I mean, so when we look at Danica in the GoDaddy car, could we see 2 weeks in a row of GoDaddy being at victory lane?
Oh, my
goodness.
Not
going to happen.
No. No. She qualified 32nd. She was 33rd in practice. I tell you, on a big track, the lady knows how to go fast. But
her
she has not
so
learned
hot.
How to
I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
Go ahead.
She still has to learn how to finesse a car around the short tracks. It's not as easy as a big track. It really takes a lot of patience and time and learning and talking to your teammates and when to get on the brakes and when to get on the gas. And, we're not going to see a GoDaddy car in victory lane this weekend.
Well, you know, the media frenzy, we saw a GoDaddy car back-to-back in both IndyCar weeks and IndyCar and then NASCAR. And how crazy would that be for us media guys when we see if we saw that happen? Because you know what? I would get to play this for weeks.
Her ass is so hot, I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
Hey, if she won this weekend, Cliff and I would change beers.
There you go. It might happen if the first 32 cars go out.
Impossible.
All right, guys, we got to take a break, and we'll be back here in just a moment. Can both of you guys stand by with me?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
All right. Fantastic. Guys, we're talking to Cliff Tanner, actually, not Kenny Barr, from Radio Speed Talk, and Walter Cox from ESPN. ESPN Pitt reporter, live with us down there in Martinsville. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. I tell you what, this has been one of those Saturday mornings that I just, my voice was slow going, but I think we finally got it going. We think we're starting to get things revved up. I appreciate my pit crew today, Mr. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, and one of my favorite guests, good friend of mine, also good friend of the show, is Walter Cox of ESPN, pit reporter of ESPN. Now, Walter, I know you got a busy day today, so what's on your schedule today out there in Martinsville?
Well, here in about 45 minutes, we're going to have our first cup practice of the day, and it's only a 45-minute session. And then this afternoon at 11:45 Eastern, we've got another hour practice. It's funny, they call it happy hour. That one is actually an hour. I like that.
Give me that.
But today, I'm not sure if a lot of your fans and listeners realize Martinsville is where the Jeff Gordon, Clint Bowyer feud started. It was on a restart. Clint Bowyer took them three wide and took out Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon for the win. This is the origination point of Jeff Gordon getting mad at Clint. And it took till the end of, towards the end of last season for him to pay him back. But I'm telling you, these drivers got memories like Elvis.
So that's where the Hatfield and McCoys got started at.
Right here in Martinsville. And the biggest reason, it was not because he got spun out. It's because Jeff Gordon so wanted the 200th win for Mr. Hendrick, and that was his opportunity to give it to him. And he didn't get that opportunity. Jimmy Johnson got it a little bit later.
Well, I tell you what, this is one of my favorite tracks to watch as a fan. And Clip, I know that you might agree with me on this, or maybe you might disagree with me on this. But as a fan, is Martinsville the fans' track or not?
Well, I would say for me, it is definitely by far, because I'm a big short track guy. I would love to see more short tracks come back into NASCAR. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you there. Bristol was exciting for a long time, but I would say fan-wise, Martinsville has to be the most exciting because, as Walter said, a lot of feuds have started here over the years, and a lot of feuds have finished on this track. And it's one of those where you just keep bumping and going away, and it's just life, man. It is the best racing there is when it comes to NASCAR, in my opinion.
Well, let's move on there. You're talking about feuds, Walter, and we spent a lot of time here talking about Jeff Gordon and Clint Bowyer. Let's talk about that new feud, Stewart and Logano. What's going to happen there? Is there anything to that at all, or is that just us media guys trying to find some crumbs to talk about?
Yeah, we do fight for them crumbs, don't we?
Yes, we do, sir.
No, it's an odd situation because what started it all was Tony did not appreciate how Joey Logano blocked him on a restart. And that is not unusual. All drivers block in one way or another. That's part of being up front and staying out front. So how does a driver get mad at another for doing something that you do every week? I don't know. But anyway, he did get mad and went after him, and now we have another rivalry as if Joey Logano didn't have enough enemies. Now he's got another one to contend with. So, yeah, you better believe half our cameras during the race tomorrow are going to be focused on them when they get close together.
Well, we're gonna look for you. Now, I want to get an update from you, Walter. And obviously, we joke around about it. Obviously, last weekend Easter, they were off for the weekend. How's Denny Hamlin doing?
He's here at the track, and he's helping the team. We have Mark Martin in the car this week, and Denny had to carry the phone books to put in the seat so Mark could sit up and see above the dash. But Denny is doing in healing, and the doctors still say 4 to 6 weeks before he can get back in the car. But he still wants to be part of the team and help him out and make sure that car stays up front so he can get back in it when he's ready. We got Mark Martin in the car this week, but the rest of the time that Denny's out, Brian Vickers is going to be driving it.
Right. Go ahead, Walter. Go ahead.
Brian Vickers, of course, starting third today. He is a really good short track driver. And all they need is a little luck on their side with some pit stops, and Brian's got a shot to win that thing today. Tomorrow.
Let me talk with you a little bit about that real quickly. And we talked about this here on the show last week. Brian Vickers instead of Mark Martin, and I think a lot of people were kind of like, up in arms, and again, going back to those crumbs that us media people look for to talk about, but did Brian Vickers rip the mat out from underneath Mark Martin on this whole replacement deal with Denny Hamlin?
Well, see, you know, in the 55 car for Michael Waltrip Racing, Mark Martin and Brian Vickers and Michael Waltrip share that ride throughout the whole season. So, and that 55 car is up front when it's in the race. So it's a very good car. And you can't have a good car without good drivers. So I think either one of those would have been a great choice to help out in the 11 car. I just feel like schedule-wise, it was easier for Brian Vickers to be in the car. Plus, you know, Mark Martin's old. Oh, don't tell him I said that. Man, he'll whoop you.
Real quickly, Walter, didn't you and Mark Martin play together, and Jesus, by the way, play dodgeball together in PE or something?
Yeah, but we try not to talk about that.
Go ahead, Cliff.
I was going to say, a report that I saw was they wanted Mark Martin was ready to sign and do all the races for Hamlin. But Aaron's is who stepped in and said, no, you know, we sponsor Mark Martin's car, and that, you know, we don't want to let him go. And because Vickers is in it this week is why you're seeing Mark Martin and Vickers going to their side. But I hope Vickers, because I love Brian Vickers, man. The guy's been through hell and back. I hope he has a great showing during this time because that boy needs a full-time ride.
Well, absolutely.
Oh, yes, I agree with Cliff. I wish they'd put him full-time in that 55 car. That's Carr with Brian Vickers could make a run for the championship. And it, I talk to the crew chiefs about this every week. You know, you get your car and your chassis and your seat and your mirrors and everything set up for one driver, and now next week I got another driver in here. I've got to change everything. I've got to redo this and move this over here and put the weight over here. And it's like starting from scratch every week. It gets stressful on a crew chief and the crew and, you know, putting everything back and forth. I think I'm not sure what the reason is why they don't have somebody in there full time, but if they did, that's a team that could go to the top.
Well, we're talking with Walter Cox, pit reporter for ESPN and Fox. And let me ask you this, Walter, and maybe you don't want to answer this, and if you don't, that's okay. We know that Speed's going to be switching over to the new Fox One, and Fox One is obviously going to be really competing heavy with ESPN. Are you going to be a part of the Fox One network, or is that just going to be something that you're not going to have any part of? Or maybe you don't want to comment on that.
No. But, yes, the transition is underway with Fox One taking over Speed. The final cutoff date, I think they said, is August. So as of right now, you'll see a lot of the logos already changed over to Fox Sports, but everything will definitely be done by August of this year. And, yes, I'm a part of all of it. So if there's a race going on somewhere, I'm there. No matter who's putting it on the air.
Hey, it doesn't matter. As long as you get a paycheck, you'll say ESPN, you'll say Fox. Oh, and you'll see the balance, right? The check's in the mail there, Walter, for you.
I am a pit reporter for the balance. There you go.
Hey, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk is joining us also. And we want to thank our newest affiliate, Indiana Talks. And we appreciate this is actually, we're doing a simulcast with them and Indiana Talks. A lot of our other affiliates, some of them are actually on our simulcast, but some of the others are picking us up on a tape delay as well. And Indiana Talks is also picking up our brand new show, and we debuted it on Thursday, called The Hot Corner. It's all about baseball. So baseball fans, if you like baseball, we got something for you. Myself, El Presidente, and I've gathered a team of baseball gurus, and we talk everything from the minor league series to the MLB, and then we spent some time obviously talking about the National League Central, the Reds, the Cubs, and the Cardinals, obviously. But we spent a lot of other time, and we're a national show as well. And, guys, I also want to point out that you can also hear us on iTunes Radio, TuneIn. So anywhere, really, there's no excuse for you to not hear the balance. And we really appreciate two of my favorite guests, Cliff Tanner and Walter Cox, joining us today and talking some racing out there in Martinsville. Now, Walter, I know that ESPN keeps you on a tight leash, and you tell me this all the time. You got to keep me on time here, so I'm going to do this. But real quickly, so we're going to go to you, Walter, and if you have to go, we totally understand, because ESPN pays you a heck of a lot more money than the balance does. But
it's close, though. It's close.
What I want to do, now I know you're out there talking to all the crew chiefs, and you're out there in the garages, and obviously Martinsville's a short track. So what are some of the X factors that you're looking at, and what's the strategies that the crew chiefs are looking at there this weekend?
Well, it's funny. I was just thinking about that. As far as strategies go, Mark Martin is a prime example. As much as I love to pick on him, we can really expect to see something out of him. He is the type of driver, he's going to drive whatever you give him. Now, he will give you feedback and say, you know, I'm a little tight here. Can we fix this? It's a little loose off the turns, or when I get on the gas, can we work on that? But he will work with what he has better than a lot of them out there. And so he's going to save his equipment. I mean, they qualified back there in 35th. He's going to save it for the end, and with fit strategy, we may see him up front towards the end. So, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting race tomorrow, so y'all be sure and tune in.
Well, we also joining us now, and I don't know if he's just joining us or is he just listening in.
Don't worry. Hey, Tom, hold on. I got a guest here. Hold on.
Sure.
I am Walter Peacock's travel agent, and I carry his luggage for him.
Okay. Well, outside of that, what's your name, travel agent?
Well, I'm not really allowed to give that because I'm out on a work release, and I've got an ankle bracelet. And what I do is every Thursday or Friday, Walter cuts it off so then I can, do his notes for him. I mean, you don't realize the power that this man has in the NASCAR garage. I mean, well, the TV broadcasters would be nowhere without the diligent work efforts of Walter because, you know, in all actuality, we cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. Walter makes sure that we have jobs so that way we can pay for our kids' colleges and educations and stuff, or, you know, spring break in Cancun, whichever comes first. And, he is a legend. And I don't know if your listeners, I don't know if your listeners know this or not. Are we close to a commercial?
No, we're
okay. Perfect.
Hang on perfect. Now. We know who this mystery guest is, so go ahead.
Well, the thing about it is, and what you don't realize with Walter is, and he tries to keep it on the down low, but Walter actually has hero cards that when he comes to the racetrack, because everybody listens on the scanners and they see Walter working the pits from the grandstands, he actually has autograph sessions at the track every Saturday before first practice. So if you happen to come to a NASCAR race, you need to tweet. Walter, what's your Twitter address? He won't give it out, he said, because there's too many people that come to his autograph sessions. And the problem is, then it delays him coming in the garage here to help us. By the way, we're not on the radio, are we?
We are. You are live, national, coast to coast. So, do you want to tell us your name, Mr. Travel Agent?
Well, see, this is the thing. I don't know if I can give that out because I thought we were in commercial break. See, you didn't notify. You know, like when you call somebody up and you do the radio prank on them and stuff, and you say, hey, by the way, I'm also what's their call letters, Walter? It's balance. See, again, information Walter could have given me when I stole his phone. But, you know, what can you do? Hey, by the way, I'll tell you what, and if your listeners haven't gone to YouTube and seen Walter's country music video, it's an absolute masterpiece. And we're waiting for the second, by the way, just so you know, Walter is turning about Budweiser red right now. His face is so red. And I can tell you right now, in all seriousness, though, Walter is one of the hardest workers in the TV business, and a great friend. And we couldn't do our jobs on pit road if it wasn't for Walter. And I've worked with Walter. How many years now, Walter? No, Walter, you lie. I'll tell you a funny story. You got time? We're not going to commercial, are we?
No, go ahead. We got plenty of time.
Are you sure?
We do.
Now, I recall back at Nashville Speedway, what year was it, Walter? 99, what, 97? So I made the mistake because Stacy Compton had a truck. It was a truck race. And it had a truck that said RC Cole on it. Well, Stacy was part of our broadcast the day before for the late model race. And during commercial, which, by the way, always the best part of our broadcast. If you come to a race, get the scanner, get our frequency, because that's the best part of the broadcast. But anyway, I move forward. So what happened was I made the comment. They were talking about an RC and a moon pie. I'm like, well, what the heck is a moon pie? I'm from Florida. You know, we have
boat
drinks down there.
Well, I know what a moon pie is. I used to have a double cola and a moon pie every day after school.
Yeah, and that's what Walter said. He said, oh, my God. I mean, you would have thought that I made some kind of national, you know, I was like a felon or something. I violated some kind of national constitutional amendment by the way everybody acted. The next day, Walter brought in a box of moon pies and a couple RC Colas. You know, so, you know, he tries to save the national treasures like moon pies. and, you know, get the folks at home that are watching our NASCAR on Fox broadcast the latest, greatest information. So, hey, but I'll tell you what, I've got to run because Walter's going to fire me if I don't change my clothes. By the way, I am fully clothed at the moment, just so you know.
All right.
But I've got to change into my work clothes. So let me give you back to him. By the way, I hope I didn't get him fired. He's very, very...
I'm telling you, he is so red right now, you have no idea. His face, it's like, it is. It's Budweiser. No, I'm not talking Bud Light. I'm talking Budweiser red right now. Okay, here you go. Great talking to you.
Good talking to you, too.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Walter.
I got phone jacked by the Matt Yoakam with Fox Sports.
Matt Yoakam with Fox Sports. Okay, well, you know, I didn't know who you had there, so tell him we appreciate it. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, Walter, and we really appreciate it. Cliff, do you have any final thoughts for Walter before we got to let him go?
Have fun, man. Be cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Cliff. It's good sharing the time with y'all and all the minions out there. So appreciate the time, and y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Walter. You're the man. You're always welcome here on the show, buddy. We'll talk to you. And be careful out there on pit lane. We'll wave to you when we see you on TV.
All right, thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Walter Cox, you never know. Walter Cox, ESPN pit reporter, and a little surprise visit there from Matt Yoakam of Fox Sports. That was pretty cool, Cliff.
Yeah, I admit, man. I wanted to say so bad, hey, the FBI is calling on the other line. You might want to go, but...
Well, I'll tell you what, this is how good of a staff I have here. They're Googling all the different things he's saying. We're trying to do voice recognition. Is it a driver? Is it somebody that we should? I'm talking to our producer and I'm like, we were doing an FBI background search as quick as we could do it. And I was trying my best to say, hey, we know who this is. That was great. That was great. Well, we didn't really have an opportunity to get into this, and I thought Kenny Barr was joining us, but I think he's just listening, but that's okay. Kenny Barr, how you doing? And it's good to have you, and we're going to keep your mic muted so you can't talk, so we can't hear you more than anything. But Cliff, I wanted to get into this question, and I want to get into this real quickly, this preview of IndyCar out down in Alabama. Just something about IndyCar. Now, NASCAR and Alabama go together, obviously. But IndyCar and Alabama, just something doesn't quite mesh there. But we'll get into that here in just a second. I mean, when you think IndyCar, you don't think about Alabama. But when you look at Martinsville, what are some of the things you're looking for as a fan, as someone from the media, short track? What are some of the X factors that you're looking for down there in Martinsville?
Well, I'll tell you, probably the biggest thing you're going to be seeing is the fans are going to be cheering for old Dale Jr. I kind of perused, I guess would be a better word, Dale has actually in the last few years led more laps down at Martinsville without a win than any other driver. You know, him being in the points lead at this point, he's going to be a big fan favorite. But I'm going to tell you, I got a feeling that this race is going to come down to Jimmy Johnson and Joey Logano. As long as Logano can stay away from Stewart, and that's going to be kind of impossible because Stewart's pretty good at this track too. But I think, Brian Vickers is going to be somebody you got to look out for. Jimmy Johnson, I mean, no doubt takes the pole. He's got the fastest car, one of the fastest cars at practice. He's going to be tough to beat. But I think Brian Vickers, Joey Logano, Marcus Ambrose, I would love to see him hang for a long time. If not, you know, towards the end, I think he could be a good factor in here as long as he doesn't have equipment issues, which is what he seems to be having here recently, or bad luck. But he's going to be a good driver. But you can't rule out Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, and, it's going to be interesting to see Tony Stewart, like I said, to be a big factor coming in here to Martinsville.
Well, and do you honestly think that we're going to see a Clint Bowyer, Jeff Gordon rematch, if you will?
We're going to see it. Well, I don't think we're going to see it today. Like I said earlier, I think the biggest thing is they want to make sure they get points. At this time, Jeff Gordon and Clint Boyer, well, Boyer's in the top 10, but Jeff Gordon is sitting outside of that, and they're going to be wanting to get, you know, it's kind of early in the season. But then again, you know, as Walter said earlier, if one of them is a few laps down, we could very well see this. But don't be surprised if we don't see one or two more issues coming up where somebody's going to be mad at somebody, and we're going to have a third and possibly fourth, maybe even fifth duel coming up later on. Because like he said, and you know, and Kenny has always said, and I've always said, you know, race car drivers have memory like an elephant, and they may get you from 10 years ago, but they'll get you.
All right, well, let's shift gears a little bit here. Why we still got you here for just a few more minutes, guys. Let's talk about Alabama. Alabama. I love saying that, Alabama. IndyCar back at Alabama in a very tricky course. And it's one of those courses that really they may not get above 45 miles an hour. Of course, I'm joking, but there's a lot of twists and turns, hairpins. Very tricky course, but a fun course. And if you like the road courses anyway, go ahead, Kenny. I mean, Cliff.
No,
get
no,
it again.
All right.
Darn it.
It's good. I'm used to it, man. It's all right. It's a 17 turn, two three eighths mile road course down it, and Penske Racing has pretty much dominated that since they came in 3 years ago. Castro Neves won the initial, and Will Power lost or won the last two. Lost. Listen to me. And Castro Neves once again last week he was fast. He was in first for a long time until he made that slip up where Hinchcliffe passed him and held him off. But Castro Neves was the fastest here again. It's a cool looking course. If you go to the iZot Indy Series website, check this out. It's pretty interesting. But you're right, with 17 turns in a road course, it may seem like they're going 45 miles an hour. But again, it's some good racing. And again, the key is when you get on these road courses with these iZot Indy cars, it's all about who can pass. And we know some of the best passers out there. And, I wouldn't be surprised to see Castro Neves pull away from this one. I don't think he's going to make the same mistake he made last week. But you can't rule out, again, James Hinchcliffe's going to come up. Qualifying, I think, starts in like a half an hour for the race. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But passes at practice, and Vadier actually had the fastest time, but he went off course to get that fastest time. So look out. He's going to be the one to look out for. So, again, road races are always good. Will Power's going to be tough there. But Penske seems to dominate the road courses the last 3 or 4 years, and it's going to be a Penske driver that's going to be tough to beat.
You know, we joke around about this track down in I think it's called Barber Sport Motor Sports Park down there in Birmingham. Well, just outside of Birmingham.
In
Birmingham, just right outside. It's actually an actual road course, just like St. Petersburg. We talk about road courses, maybe we think about Ohio, and we think about designated courses that are at Pocono. We talk about courses that are designated road courses, but this is a real road course. This is actually on the road. And, you know, I think a lot this track really has not been a fan favorite, if you will, because of its lack of action. But I think that's starting to take a turn, and I think it's really starting to become a fan favorite and an open-wheel stronghold year in and year out, and it's only the fourth year in the schedule. What are your thoughts about that track and how fans perceive that track?
Well, fans, the problem with fans in the IRL is they think that action means crashing. But I'm going to tell you what, man, you know, being on the inside like we are, it's all about racing. It's all about what you can do with the car and how you can control your car. And a lot of race fans don't want to look at that. They want to look at passing. They want to look at bumping and grinding. They want to see spins. They want to see all that stuff. But, you know, this is a racer's course. Well, again, take a look at the last 3 years. You know, you've got Will Power has won two in a row, and you got Helio Castro Neves. Those are two of the best drivers there are in IRL. So people don't look at the inside. It's kind of like hockey now. Everybody used to love hockey because there's fights. And I hear fans say all the time, I don't like going to it because there's no fights. Well, it's a finesse game. It's a good strategy game. And it's the same thing with racing, man. It doesn't matter whether it's NASCAR, IRL, or anything like that. You know, this track down in outside of Birmingham is becoming one of the favorites, I think, from the drivers also, because it definitely gives you an opportunity to show off what kind of, you know, talent you have as a driver.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the DW12 and Barber Motorsports Park or out there in Alabama really is a match?
That I'm not really sure about. I got to be honest with you.
Well, we're joined by Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. And Cliff, thanks so much for joining us. And we're running just a little bit late for our affiliate stations, guys. We are going to take a break here in just a moment. Just so you know, we are going to do that here in just a moment. We're running just a little bit late because we had a great surprise by Walter Cox of ESPN. Matt Yoakam of Fox Sports. How cool was that, Cliff?
Well, that was awesome, man, because it took me a minute to figure out who it was, you know, hearing it on this side. But, yeah, that was pretty cool. And, yeah, it's always good to have a surprise like that.
Well, I tell you what, and especially us guys in media, there are certain guys that, hey, that guy's made it. That guy's pretty cool. And when we watch Fox and we watch NASCAR and Fox Sports, well, let me ask you this. Do you know who Matt Yoakam is?
I sure do.
Okay. I wanted to preface that before I said that because I thought, well, am I the only guy in the world that knows who this guy is? And
everybody in the world should know if they are. If they're NASCAR
absolutely.
Fans, everybody should know it. Right.
You know what? And that was fantastic of him. And you know, well, I don't know that his phone actually got phone jacked, but Walter's great for surprises like that. So if we get thrown off schedule, Matt Yoakam is welcome anytime. I'm gonna tell you that. That was fantastic, and that was a lot of fun. And I hope he gets off work release soon. So I just want you to know, Cliff. I know you're tied to a clock as well, not as much as Walter. And apparently, you know, he goes, got to keep me on time here. Got to keep me on time. ESPN's going to be down my neck. And then apparently, when Matt Yoakam comes up, it doesn't matter. So it's great. That was the first appearance by Matt Yoakam on the Balance Radio Network here. Indiana Talks. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview. So a couple things I want to get to here real quickly, and then I promise you, Cliff, I'll let you go. But I do want to get through our IndyCar here. Obviously, I want to look at this track and a new track record, spring training at the really, it's spring down there. But it also has dealt with some winter conditions, especially with storm and rain and that sort of stuff. This weekend should see the record officially broken as the series under the sanctioned timing. Do you agree with that, Cliff, or not?
Oh, I totally agree. I think it's going to be shattered. You know, with the new cars coming out and the way that the crew chiefs and everybody's trying to, you know, are finally figuring out how good this car is, you get that baby fine-tuned, I think they're going to shatter records down there this weekend.
Well, and not to mention the spiffy new Firestone tires that are going to be down there as well. So I want to talk about another topic here, and this is especially in the social media world, not a very popular. Kind of feels like a lot of people think AJ Allmendinger really now has the opinion that he can go out there and do whatever he wants. Now I tell you what, he's a very promising open wheel star, and it's good that he got a second chance. On one hand, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, but on the other hand, are we allowing these drivers to say, it's okay, don't worry about it, come on, we're going to let you in here? Obviously, AJ Allmendinger has a lot to prove for himself, but to the fans, I guess I should word it like this. As a fan, I'm a big IndyCar fan. As a fan, I think that AJ Allmendinger should have sit out a complete season. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I kind of go back and forth on that a little bit myself because the guy knew what he was doing. I don't care whether he said his friend, you know, gave him what it was. But let's look at the reality of it. I mean, you go to baseball or any other sport, people taking these, you know, enhancements and all that. The bottom line is, A.J. Allmendinger went through his, you know, what was required for him, and I don't think he should have sat out a whole year, I don't think, simply because of this. He took something that was legal but not approved. okay? Now, if he was doing meth like Jeremy Mayfield or somebody like that, then yes, he should be banned, period. But, I've interviewed A.J. Allmendinger. I've talked with A.J. Allmendinger. He's a great guy, and I think he was just looking for an advantage to keep something going there, and he just made a mistake and he got caught. He went through his counseling. He went through what he had to do. You know, it's just like with Michael Vick, which is, I know it's not even close to the same scale. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of people are going to be going, what? But, you know, you pay your due, give the guy an opportunity. I think he's okay. And again, if he was doing an illegal substance, then yes, I agree. He shouldn't be banned just for a year. He should be banned, period.
Well, and I guess that's my point. And you made it very, very loud and clear. He knew what he was taking. Maybe it wasn't illegal on the streets. Maybe it's not like he was smoking dope or something. But it
right.
was an illegal substance in the sport.
Right.
So, to me, and he knew what he was doing, and I agree with you. I'm gonna jump on that bandwagon all day. For him to say that he didn't know what he's doing, I disagree. Now on the flip side of it, as a team owner, do I want him driving my car? Absolutely, especially on a course like this. So I guess it's kind of a you got to look at both sides of the coin here. But we really strive hard to look at the fans' point of view, because let me ask you this: had this man a rookie driver somewhere else, somebody else doing something else, would he have gotten a second chance?
I think so. As fast? No. You know, again, if it was illegal, it's a whole different story. And yes, I know, I agree, it was illegal in the sport. But, you know, if a guy does make a mistake like that, and I will never, ever, you know, forgive him for lying about it, that's just, you know, part of life. But, you know, if you and I were in that position, we might do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? We could sit here as armchair racers and say, well, I wouldn't do that. Why lie about it? I don't know. I think if it was a rookie, especially if it was a rookie that was an up-and-comer, yeah, it would cut up some slack. If it was somebody who's been trying to get into something for a long time, maybe not.
Well, I want to get back to the track here so we can finish up our conversation today here because we are running a little bit behind there. But turn five out there in Alabama, really, you can't. I mean, we're going to see a Formula One race tomorrow in a lot of ways, and I don't mean that like from the vehicle for the vehicles. Well, when you say road courts, we say vehicles, not race cars, because they're vehicles because they're only no. We see the race cars on the track here, and you look at Turn Five out there in Alabama when you don't have a lot of opportunities to pass that Turn Five. We're going to see a lot of actions out there in Alabama tomorrow.
Most definitely. That's one of the funnest things to watch when you get into a real sharp turn like that. And you're right, it's going to be hard to pass. The only way you're going to be able to pass is if somebody goes off the track or spins out a little bit. And even then, it's going to be hard, and you're taking a big chance of getting some damage. But, yeah, this course, you're right, Formula One is kind of going to be about the same thing here. Not going to be a lot of passing in there, but it sure would be nice to see somebody try it. But I don't think you're going to come out very good.
Well, and I agree with you. And there's only 90 laps, so we'll see what happens there. And I know I'm zipping through these topics real quickly, but I just wanted to get through my notes here. So I apologize if it seems like I'm rushing from one topic to the other. But that's exactly what I'm doing. In case you picked up on that, that's exactly what I'm doing. Let's talk about the setups there in Alabama. Obviously, with the new DW12 there, Cliff, the setup's a lot different. And to me, it was very apparent in St. Petersburg that most teams had a much better handle on creating quality setups for the new equipment. How does – and maybe this is a Kenny question, but I'm just going to throw it to you anyway. How does a team set up for Alabama?
Well, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, you're going to have to set up the car so that it can, you know, move around the track, obviously, with ease. But you also got to make sure that your tires don't go bad, because we saw that a little bit in St. Petersburg last week with Simona Del Silvestro. See, I remembered that now. I've been practicing that one. You know, it's all going to be about the pit strategy at this point. But the car setups are going to be pretty close to the same. But you're going to have to be able to make that car turn a lot sharper, because there's some sharper turns on, on the Alabama track than there is what there was at St. Petersburg. But so I think the setup is going to be more to make sure the car turns right and to make sure that you've got the tires at the end, you know, to take this thing home.
All right, moving on along. James Hinchcliffe, my man Hinch, mayor of Hinchtown. I like him. He's actually a personal friend of mine. I enjoy talking with him. We talk via Twitter every now and then. And occasionally I do get some random texts from him, so which we will not discuss on the air. James Hinchcliffe had a great start to the season. Obviously, a trip to Victory Lane is his first trip. James clearly has the skill and the engineering and backing to be a serious contender this year. How's he going to do this week in Alabama?
Well, he's going to have to pick up on his time a little bit. You know, he's still, again, you know, this track is going to be hard to pass on in some areas. So, and he's definitely learned. And I got to tell you, he's become one of my favorite drivers in this series because I just love what he's done from last year to this year. And he is on a mission. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's kind of a stab at Danica to take that GoDaddy car and be in the top five in points. And I could see him seriously racing for a championship. As long as he stays out of trouble and he can pass well on this track, he's going to be in the top five, no doubt.
Well, does Will Power win this race?
You know, there's a good possibility of that. I mean, he's got this track down. He's won the last two. A lot of that's going to depend on where he qualifies and to make sure nobody's checking their gauges and run over the back of you. He's, you know, again, the top three guys are going to be the ones that can pass the best, and him and Castro Neves are two of the best. And you know, you can't rule out Scott Dixon either because this guy is pretty phenomenal on road courses too. So he's got an outside chance. I think Castro Neves is the man to beat today.
Well, when we look at the Biggest Loser, I'm not talking about the television show, but when we look at the Biggest Loser, is Honda the Biggest Loser this week?
It kind of appears that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So I'm just curious on what your thoughts on that, and if it, or maybe you don't have any thoughts on that, but I'm just curious on what.
I think Honda is behind on getting their car set up compared to what the Chevys are. The Chevy, you know, is a much easier car to work on at this point and more dialed in. I don't know if that could be the teams that just aren't finding the right combination or anything like that, but Chevy's going to be a dominating force all year long, not just this one.
Well, Cliff Tanner, I know we haven't had a chance to really talk about your show this week, so tell us real quickly what's going on Radio Speed Talk this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, with everything going on, kicking off, we talked a lot. We had Steve Minnick Jr. on with us, senior. And if you want a good take on the crash between Logano and Hamlin, you got to read it or listen to what he has to say because being a crew chief, it was kind of interesting. And we also talked a lot about opening weekend coming up next weekend down there in your backyard, the Lucas Oil Field, for the CRA series. So we talked a lot about that.
Well, we're going to try our best to be down there as well. Well, Mr. Cliff Tanner, where can people find your work and your masterpieces at, sir?
You can go to Radio Speed Talk anytime. You can listen to us right here on The Balance, and you can catch me at Radio Speed Talk 2, and that's the number 2, not the TWO.
All right, Cliff, I'll tell you what, it's been a pleasure you joining us today, and I'm glad that you had an opportunity to join us. I'm sorry about the delay, but you know what? Sometimes those things happen in live radio, and we'll take those kind of surprises anytime.
Oh, definitely. This show could go for another hour, man, but I understand. You got to get up back on track and talk about Bob Knight.
That's right. Well, you're more than welcome to join the conversation. But, guys, we are going to take a break, and we're going to be back, and we're going to be talking some March Madness and also some madness on the court down here in Indianapolis. We had a broken leg this year, and a team not even in the Final Four is getting a lot of media attention. We're going to talk about them when we get right back. I think $2 Bill Josh is going to be joining us, and Gene Walker as well. Guys, we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, right here on Indiana Talk.
Daddy's belt, mama's drapes, standing tall in the backyard shed looking cool. watches. My fate was a broken arm and my reward.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Marquezel Presidente. What a great first hour that we had. I tell you what, we ran a little bit off schedule, and we had Matt Yoakam of Fox Sports do a surprise visit. Wasn't scheduled at all, and we really enjoyed having him on board with us. But I tell you what, it's time to get into some college basketball talk. Is Bobby Knight back? Is he back? I don't know. And when I say, is he back, of course he's not back in the physical sense. But a lot of people have given a lot of comparison to this Rutgers situation, this Rutgers coach situation. And isn't a part of the culture as being a coach in the NCAA under the pressure? And we could get into a lot of that. And obviously we want to get into the Final Four. It's March Madness, guys. But I do want to spend some time talking about this. I want to get your opinion. What is your thought on this Rutgers coach? First of all, I guess this is a two-part question. What I want to hear from you is this acceptable? Is it a part of the culture? Also, has the media blown it way out of proportion, which I kind of think that may be what's going on? And thirdly, how often does this really happen? Joining us now is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, I know you're spending some time volunteering in downtown Indianapolis for the mini marathon practice, but thanks for taking some time to join us today. And Mr. Gene Walker's going to join us, but I know he's got some things going on with his fight schedule and some different things going on there. So he's going to get with us here just as soon as he can. And we're going to really break down these Final Four teams. But Josh, I want to talk with you a little bit about this Rutgers coach. Let's dig into this. First of all, Josh, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
All right, Tom, just remember I told you beforehand this is going to be the most controversial statement you have ever aired on your show.
Just don't cuss because we're on the radio. So other than that, go ahead, sir.
This is pathetic. The national media needs to be ashamed of themselves. They need to grow up, put on their big boy pants. Not a single kid on the team at Rutgers is there because somebody held a gun to his head. Not to take gun violence jokingly. Nobody said you would go to Rutgers or else. If your kid's so unhappy at Rutgers, he can leave. The fact that it's still there, they must not hate it too much. Is it right?
Well,
Tom, I don't know if you played high school sports, but in high school, my football coach used to get me by the face mask. Nowadays, he'd get fired on the spot. in high school, my coach used to yell at me, call us names. But I'm sure they did it back when you were in high school. We didn't go crying to our mommy and daddy and saying, that's not fair. That needs to stop. I think what happened is there's a new president that came into Rutgers. He didn't like the coach. And I'm sorry, I'm so tired of having to be PC in this country. It came down to because he said one comment about a certain group of people. This had nothing to do with what was in the video. This had nothing to do with his record. This came down to PC. And quite frankly, I'm tired of being PC in this country. I thought we had freedom of speech in America. He got fired for what he said, not for what he did.
Well, and there's a lot of there's a lot of validity in that point, Josh. And here's the thing, he never got fired until ESPN ran the viral video. Then we allowed the media to take control of the situation. Now this is where I say maybe the media has taken it too far. You know, here's the thing. I don't know. Maybe the media is kind of pissed off that they can't control elections anymore, so they're going to start controlling college sports. We want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call. We want to talk with you guys, all of our minions, our fans out there on Indiana Talks or on Blog Talk Radio, the Balance Radio Network, anywhere you're listening to us right now. We want you to call in 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516. We want to get your thoughts and your opinion. Because here's the thing. The coach was never fired. He wasn't fired. Now we're going to get into that statement that was released by the AD in his leaving. Now, keep in mind, he never said anything about this to anybody. Now we look at Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight got fired for the same thing. So obviously they had to fire him maybe from that aspect. What we're looking at here is a situation that, one, an assistant coach's contract wasn't renewed. He took a video that he had, and he said, hey, I got something here. I got some dirt here. And that's what he did. And he went in and he leaked that to ESPN. And then after he done that, ESPN even, and this is just coming out, ESPN says, well, maybe we're not going to air this. Maybe we just that's not something we want to air. Well, when they couldn't get an opinion or a thought from the college, from Rutgers University, they couldn't get a comment, if you will, they said, all right, we got something for you. And then they obviously played the video, and we know what happened from there. So we're looking at a situation here to where – and that's certainly in ESPN's backyard right out there in New Jersey. So we're looking at a situation here. I think the media took it too far. Now, you know, and this is not a show about politics, and we don't want to get into a lot of politics about it, but you have to. And you look at this situation, the media totally controlled the outcome of what happened. Now, am I saying that it's right for a coach to put their hands on a player? No. But I agree with you, Josh. You know, players were lined up to play for Bobby Knight, lined up to play for Bobby Knight. Now you look at it, maybe would it be different if he had a winning record? Maybe I don't know, but here's the thing. There's a lot of this story is like an onion. The more layers you pull back from the onion, the more it makes you just want to cry. The more it brings tears to your eyes. I don't mean that literally. I just mean the stronger that the story gets, the more layers we pull back, the stronger the story gets. Now, there's a couple things here. First of all, what I want to know is, and I'm paraphrasing a quote from the AD. Here's what he said. He says, he didn't even say this until he was fired, okay? Then he decided, oh, I got this statement. Hey, I wanted to fire that guy, but you guys wouldn't let me. You guys put it toward, you brought in all your lawyers, and you brought in all your people, and you said, hey, this does not warrant a firing. I did what you told me to do. Do I regret that? Yes. But I did what you told me to do, and that was not fire the coach. Now, because ESPN ran a video. Now we got to fire it. We have to. And maybe they were backed into a corner. Obviously, there's a lot of thoughts. The trustees and the board of directors and the alumni association obviously hugely probably played a big impact on that. But at the same time, we're going to fire a coach. Oh, by the way, they're going to go ahead and give him a $100,000 bonus that was coming his way. Anyway, go ahead, Josh. Josh, are you there?
Yeah. Here's basically what the story comes down to. Back in 2010 at Rutgers, there was a gay student who killed himself. That's a travesty. We're not going to get into that story. That's fact. The fact is what the fact is. The reason he got fired is because he used some type of anti-gay slur, or I'm not sure exactly what the comment is. On the video I've seen, they even mute that part, so you can't actually hear what he said. But for real, people use slang and slur all day, every day at work, and they don't get fired for it. It came down to Rutgers wanting to look like they're this progressive, Democrat-leaning university, so they fired him based on a statement. It had nothing to do with the fact he put his hand on a player. That happens all the time. Mike Montgomery did it earlier this year at Cal. He didn't get fired. It came down to what he said. And I personally am on a personal boycott against ESPN because I'm so sick and tired of ESPN. They used to have SportsCenter. It used to actually be sports news. Who won, who lost, why they won, why they lost. Now it's who's dating who. Why are they dating? When did they start dating? What controversy can we come up with today? What special interest group? Tom, it's sad. It's a sad day in sports when you have to bring special interest groups into the sports conversation. But I don't know if you agree, and I'm curious to see if you do. And when Gene joins us in a little bit, I want to see if he agrees. ESPN is now in the business of pandering to whatever special interest group will put the most money in their pocket.
Well, and again, this isn't a politics show, but, you know, unfortunately, there's a certain element of politics that go along with this. And ESPN totally controlled the destiny of this coach. Now, am I saying that a coach should put their hands and do what he did? No, I'm not condoning his actions. What I am saying is the university had said, no, we're not going to fire you. You need to go through these classes, these sensitivity classes, which he did, and he abided by everything that the university put forth. And then this video came out, and ESPN didn't even run that video until they weren't able to get a comment from Rutgers University. So I'm really disappointed in ESPN as a network. And I'm not saying that the coach of Rutgers, I'm not condoning his action at all. But the thing is, he was put on a behavior modification plan, and then he was fined, and then he was suspended for a couple days. So they did pass down a penalty. But it wasn't until ESPN ran the video that everybody starts getting – now here's where I say that they're treating this like the Penn State scandal. Okay, look, that was huge. Okay, you had a pedophile. Absolutely a different scenario. The media should have took charge and made that happen. But the media has now created a lynch mob that has cost the livelihood of two individuals, all because they wouldn't respond to a comment. Again, all started from an associate coach whose contract was not renewed. Now, we know Tom Izzo, Rick Pitino, all your Final Four coaches. Now, are we going to get them to admit that on mic? And they're probably all reviewing their tapes right now saying, guys, if there's anything on there, get rid of it. We know in the college sports arena that happens. There are players lined up to play for Rick Pitino, probably Louisville by far, and certainly deservedly so, the number one team in the nation. We're going to get into the Final Four talk here in just a moment. But there are players lined up to play for Rick Pitino. There are players lined up to play for Tom Izzo. And I guarantee you, if we sat back and we looked at the tapes of Tom Izzo, Rick Pitino, or name your coach, Division I, Division II, Brad Stevens. I'm not saying Brad Stevens of Butler is doing that, but I can tell you he's tough on his players. Now, maybe it's a verbal thing. I don't know. But, you know, here's the thing. There's a certain code of conduct. It wasn't the players coming forward. It was an associated coach who was upset that his contract was not renewed. It was ESPN that was upset that they couldn't get a comment from Rutgers. So that's where my issue is. It's not about whether or not he should have been fired. Clearly, he should have been. But it should have been done instead of giving him that behavior modification plan and fine for a couple of games. It wasn't – my point being is it wasn't until after it went public he was fired. Now, you look at the Rutgers assistant coach, Jimmy Marcelli, and the athletic director losing their jobs as well. Now, granted, the assistant coach resigned voluntarily, at least – that's what's being reported, and that's what's being portrayed. Maybe that's the case. I'm really interested to hear from you, the minions, on this. And we a lot of times we don't have time to take calls, but we do today. 917-889-8516, if you're listening to us on Indiana Talks, and we're live. So give us a call, 917-889-8516. I'm really interested in what you think about this because – I just feel we have turned a blind eye on how we treat young men in a lot of ways in the athletic situation. Maybe we've turned a blind eye. Maybe it's time that we have a wake-up call and realize that this is, in my opinion, a part of the culture of being in college sports. And you know, we talk about Bobby Knight. I can't help but note that Bobby Knight, the longtime coach of Indiana, obviously, whether or not he wants to admit that or not, famous for throwing his chairs at one point. They've even made TV commercials after that, grabbing his players and so forth. And now, like I said, now making commercials for a food chain based on throwing his chairs. I don't know. Apparently it's a fun fact to talk about Bobby Knight throwing a chair at people. So I guess that's where in my teaser I was saying, is Bobby Knight back? Because this happens all the time. I mean, you look, Josh, you look at the story back in Florida, back in, what is it, 2000, 1999 or 2000, when a coach grabbed the kid from the boys. I can't remember the story, but there was a big blow up about that. I don't know, guys. Is this a little bit too little, too late? 917-889-8516. We want to hear you chime in on this Rutgers University firing. Obviously, that really wasn't our plan. We were going to talk Final Four. We're going to do that here in just a moment. We are standing by for Gene Walker to give us a call here, too. But I think if anybody looks at the tapes at any of the schools in the Final Four, we'll just take the Final Four. We'll take Michigan State. We'll take Wichita. Louisville. We take any of the Final Four teams, and we look at their practice tapes. What would we see, Josh?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I want to bring up 2 points right here. A, Mike Rice should not have been fired. I'll be sending over and posting on Indy Pro Sports today what I'm sure will be a very controversial, very talked about. I wouldn't even be shocked if ESPN picks the blog up. But you talk about what we would see in the Final Four. Anybody remember at the beginning of this tournament we were talking about Jim Boeheim and his program being accused of yet another drug scandal, another sex scandal, another cheating scandal? He hasn't got fired yet. So, again, I say it's because ESPN is now in the business of pandering to special interest groups. The gay rights community, as they should have, got upset with the slur that he used, and I don't fault him for getting upset. I fault ESPN for pandering to special interest groups. ESPN is now no longer a sports network. They are now a political sports network, which is a totally different field we don't have time to talk about today. But, Tom, 4 weeks ago, weren't we talking about Syracuse being in another scandal? Why isn't Boeheim getting fired? Let me guess, because he's in the Final Four.
Absolutely. And I guess I couldn't agree with you more, Josh. We don't always agree on everything, but I do agree with you on this. I think there just needs to be a practice where everyone needs to be held accountable. Maybe all of the coaches need to go to sensitivity training. Or better yet, maybe us as American as the American public that soak up like a sponge everything the mainstream media tells us. And I watch ESPN. I've got it on right here in the Balance studio right now. Obviously, we watch ESPN. We like what they report. They do a great job of being a sports network. They drop the ball here. And I guess what I'm saying is, again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not, by no means saying that the coach of Rutgers should have put his hands on the players. No, no, no. But I'm saying is that it happens all the time. And I guess there's no shame at all anymore. But what happens is the media now says, hey, I got you. You don't want to give us a comment? We got something. So where's the line, Josh? Where's the line, my minions? Where's the line? I mean, exactly. I mean, the reason I think you draw the line. I mean, here's an example. We can draw a line on homophobias. Hey, we can't talk about that, right? We can't talk about no derogatory remarks toward women or Islam. And now you look at the Associated Press changing all their terminology. You can't even insult some kid from Lithuania. I don't know. You can't insult illegal aliens. No bullying. But who was the bully here? ESPN or the Rutgers coach? That's my question, Josh.
They both were, but at the end of the day, ESPN, you are a sports network. You dropped the ball or forgot you were a sports network. And, Tom, that's the biggest reason I'm proud to be associated with The Balance. We don't have a lynch mob here on The Balance. We try to bring you sports news from a sports perspective and strictly the sports news, some opinion. But I think it's time ESPN, in particular, because that's who I fault, remember, they're a sports network and not judge, jury, and executioner.
Well, I agree. And we want to get on into the Final Four, and we want to talk about Louisville. Josh, right here in Indianapolis, national news, and I have to admit this. I was tired. It had been a long week, and I was watching that game, and I laid down, and I thought I'd watch this game, and I fell asleep. I didn't even realize that had happened until later on when I was watching the local media here in Indianapolis that broken leg had happened. Wow. And you look at that. That was incredible. And what a story that is coming out of March Madness, Josh. Josh, are you there?
Well, I'm having a bit of technical difficulty being out here volunteering with the mini, but I didn't realize at first that his leg was broken. I want to commend Louisville, because Tom, you read the Indianapolis Star and all the different websites all week, just like I have. They are making sure that his hospital bills are paid in full, and that won't cost Kevin Ware's family any money. Okay, get him flown down to Atlanta because you know he had to have a special flight or whatever because he can't fly with the cast on. And the medical bills had to be extraordinarily expensive. So I myself, on behalf of The Balance and other college basketball fans in general, would like to commend Louisville for doing the right thing. And I wonder why we're not talking about a university doing the right thing on the national news.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, they got a lot of credit there as well. Joining us now, Mr. Gene Walker, also of Indiana Talks, is joining us here. Gene, I know you've had a busy weekend. You've been out in Atlantic City. You say you were at a fight. I think you're at the craps table, and you were at the blackjack table. But that's okay. I understand that takes precedence. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing, Tom?
Good, good. Hey, I want to hear your thoughts on this, and we want to get into the Final Four. And I know we've kind of beat this to death on the Rutgers coach firing. But the question is, who's the bully here? Was it the Rutgers coach or was it ESPN? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, ESPN has always sort of been the passive-aggressive bully on a lot of issues. And, you know, I will say, and I said this before, and I think that this might be the exception to the rule, but, you know, there have been so many times in the past where a coach's behavior has just been so blown out of proportion. You know, oh, he yelled at the kid. Well, so what? Or, you know, he grabbed the kid's arm one time, and they acted like he'd got a knife out and stabbed somebody and all this stuff. And, you know, I think that so many times it's just been blown out of proportion. But with this particular coach, he just kept going on and on and on with this, like, three-year-old behavior. And as a former coach myself, I don't know. I mean, if one time he hurled a ball at somebody's legs or, you know, one time you let a couple of whatevers go, you know what, so what? Man up. It's what happens inside a team, and if you don't like it, then look away because teams are different. But this was a pattern of behavior that seemed to repeat itself, and I don't know, the film I saw, that just one practice or if there was several practices like that, I don't know. You know, but I think I'd like to defend the guy, but in this case, I thought he was overboard, and I'm the kind of guy that I did get in a grill of a couple kids in my life, and I did when I felt it was necessary. When it was necessary, we'd melt down a team, but we did it usually as a team. We didn't do it necessarily as an individual. And the kids now, they are different than we were. They're softer inside. A lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And that's adults' fault. You know, that's that whole thing about it doesn't matter what we teach them as long as we don't hurt their feelings. And by the time they get to college, they're just not in the same – they can go off the rail very easily. And you as a coach have to know that. And you have to know how to pull them back and keep them in tune and whatever else. And yeah, but I didn't like the fact that he kept throwing the balls at the kids. I didn't get that. That part I really didn't get.
Well, and I wish that we had a lot more time to get into this conversation, but we've only got about 15 minutes left here. And we are, by the way, I do want to remind everybody, we are live doing a simulcast on Indiana Talks right now, and also on various different affiliates as far as iTunes Radio, TuneIn, and so forth. So glad that you guys can join us. We did want to get into the Final Four, and right when you called in, we were beginning to go into the Kevin Ware conversation, and I was seeing that. I actually took a nap and slept right through that. I didn't even realize until I watched the local media news later on that had even happened. And we look at that, and maybe we as media, again, we talked about this earlier on in the show, maybe we just look for crumbs to talk about. But that was a pretty serious injury. And, I mean, I think the bone, they said, was sticking out like 6 inches or something like that. That was a pretty serious injury. And thanks to – and Josh brought up an interesting point. Louisville, actually, we should be talking about the positive things of a coach. And you know what? That same coach, Rick Pitino, who in Louisville is paying for the college education of Kevin Ware, but also paid for his medical expenses. But that same coach, if we were to look at the practice tapes, we might see some things we're not too happy with. We don't have time to get into that. But, guys, I want to get your thoughts on Kevin Ware and a great story that is, and then we want to get into the Final Four. Do you think that the Cardinals, Josh, are playing for Kevin Ware in the national championship game?
I think in any other year they would be. But I think this year is a destiny year. It's got to end this way. Louisville and Syracuse are playing to get the Big East. One more final big hoorah as it currently exists. They're playing to have one more all Big East matchup. So I think based on the fact the Big East, when Monday night is over, it's forever fundamentally changed. I think they're playing more for that than Kevin Ware. Certainly they're going to talk about Kevin Ware. He's going to be on the bench. But, Gene, I don't know if you agree. I'd say they're playing more for the Big East this weekend than they are Kevin Ware.
Go ahead, Gene.
Well, I definitely think Syracuse is, and you know, Louisville is a newer member of the conference. You know, I think that I think right now that Syracuse and certainly they want revenge on what happened to them at the end of the Big East tournament. There's no question about that in my mind. And the challenge is going to be for Syracuse now is can they beat a Michigan team that replicates at times this Louisville team? Because the one kind of offense that really gives Q's problems is a Louisville-style team, and Michigan, at their best, replicates that. So that's what they're going to have to worry about today is beating a Michigan team that at their best give them a game and if not beat them.
Well, guys, we got some great games lined up today. Louisville Cardinals against Wichita State Shockers. Guys, I've been riding it. You know, I made this comment to our producer, Michelle Jones, earlier today. I was smart enough. I was stupid enough to be – I was not smart enough to be stupid enough. I don't remember my comment. It was just one of those off-the-cuff things that I said. I was stupid enough to be smart enough to not – I thought I was smart enough to not pick them to go in to the Final Four. But I would be more stupid to think that they can't beat Louisville. I think they can beat Louisville, and I'm going to ride this wave with the Wichita State Shockers. And you guys know, since Selection Sunday, I have said this is a great team, although I wish that I had picked them to go to the Final Four. I did not. Go ahead, Gene. Wichita State Shockers and the Louisville Cardinals tonight, 6:05 p.m.
Well, again, on head-to-head matchups, I had Wichita State both times I knew their opponent. I knew they were going to play Gonzaga. I knew they were going to play Pitt. So I had Wichita State both times, and it worked out. But after that, everything got screwed up for me because Wisconsin didn't come through. So now they're playing Louisville. Well, again, I know their opponent. There's no way I'm picking Wichita State. I think Louisville was going to win this thing from the beginning. They're who I have winning from the beginning. And again, I'm not going to bail on them. I'm taking the Cardinals.
All right, Josh, Wichita State and Louisville Cardinals tonight.
Tom, I'm afraid you're on that ledge on your own. I've tried. Everybody knows I love a good Cinderella story. There's no reason whatsoever to logically pick Wichita State.
Other than the fact, Josh, that they beat Gonzaga and Ohio State, but go ahead.
Well, Ball State would have beat Gonzaga, but there's no logical reason.
That's why Gonzaga was a number two seed and Ball State put it in. Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyway, Gonzaga was in because they had to be in. But bottom line is there's no logical reason to pick Wichita State. And even though I'm picking Louisville, I get a feeling Wichita State's going to do it. But because I can't logically explain why I would pick Wichita State, I'm not going to pick them.
Well, I tell you what, Louisville, I will say this. Louisville's playing a lot on emotion and on that whole Kevin Ware thing. And Louisville, by rights, and they've earned the right to be the number one team. So, yes, there is that argument that says they could beat Wichita State. But I'm just saying Wichita State's certainly no slouches by any stretch of the imagination. All right, and Gene, you mentioned this a while ago, and this is what everybody's thinking. Michigan could stop that zone, something Indiana couldn't do. And here's something Coach Creed said. He said they're just so long. They're long guys. They're not big guys. They're long guys. Talking about Syracuse, and you look at Michigan. Gene, and I know you follow the Wolverines a lot. It's certainly close to us audience here in Indiana. So probably a lot of people are rooting for Michigan. I certainly want to stop Syracuse after what they were able to do to IU. The Wolverines, perhaps, in a lot of ways, are the most talented team left in the tournament. I mean, in my opinion, we talked about this last week. Their roster stocked with future NBA players. Gene?
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, the thing that Boeheim has got going in Syracuse is that he basically makes you play against yourself. That's what a zone defense is. A zone defense is basically saying, all right, we've got the guys to out-rebound you. We got the guys to spread you out. What we do not have the guys to do is play you man up. We do not have the speed to, by position, take your guys out. Now, I don't know that C.J. Fair isn't that kind of guy. You know, I'm almost thinking that maybe he could play man-to-man basketball with these guys and just chose not to. Because he saw what would happen if a team gets cold. And when a team gets cold against the zone wins. On a Marquette. Marquette could get the broad side of a bun. They kept hitting the same part of the rim over and over again. And that's just that's what happens when a shooter is just a little bit off. And every shooter has experienced that. So they try to make you play against yourself. And, again, the teams that don't play against themselves, and that would be Louisville when they're running, and in Michigan when they're running, those are the kind of teams that can dribble, penetrate, and cause problems. If Michigan can drive into the rack and get the bigs in foul trouble early, Syracuse is in a lot of trouble here. And if Michigan's hitting their shots at all, Syracuse is in a lot of trouble because they're not going to come out and play perimeter defense. They're going to be packed back in a zone. So that's what Michigan's going to have to do is dribble, penetrate, and then kick out and hit their shots and keep the transition going. If they do that, they can beat Syracuse. If they're not shooting well, however, they're not going to out-rebound them, that's for sure.
Well, one thing for sure, the Syracuse, the Big Orange, will force more turnovers, I think, than they've seen. And really, Michigan's a gun team, if you look at it. And they were able to beat Kansas and will come back to do a comeback and beat Kansas. And then just literally crush the Gators. Josh, go ahead.
Well, I think Michigan's a better team than Syracuse. But Syracuse has something going for it this tournament that nobody's really talking about, and I want to get your and Gene's opinion on it. Year after year after year after year after year, for like the last 5 or 6 years now, there's been some scandal. Every year Jim Boeheim somehow escaped it. He's made it known he doesn't want to coach in the ACC. He's not happy Syracuse is going to the ACC. There's yet another scandal. The NCAA, the scandal-ridden organization that it is, has sent a letter of allegations or failure to comply, whatever it is they sent to Syracuse last week. I think Michigan's a better team, but I think Syracuse is going to win because I think the players, and Gene and Tom, I want your opinion, already know or have already heard Jim Boeheim say in the locker room, I'm done. Win, lose, or draw on Saturday, or win, lose, or draw on Monday, I'm done. This is it. So I think they're going to beat Michigan based on that fact alone.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Boeheim leave. I know that, you talk about Calhoun over in UConn was really riding on the same exact thing. You know, they wrote it off to hell, but UConn had plenty of players. I know two of them personally that couldn't functionally read, and they were somehow cleared to get on that basketball team and play over the years. And he always had to keep allegations at bay that he was doing the wrong thing, which he was. And if anybody brought it up that he became a total bully and whatever else, Boeheim was kind of more of a smoother type version of that. He wasn't as rough around the edges as Calhoun about it, but he kind of kept the same thing going. Now that it's at the end of the rope, does that factor into it? It just factors into the fact that a team won't have a letdown. I don't think that's going to be a reason or not a reason a team wins a game or doesn't win a game. But I do agree with you, $2, that they won't be coming there with sort of a laissez attitude about it because they're going to definitely be playing for the next.
Well, certainly, Boeheim is one of the legendary coaches out there, and we can't discard that. But I just think, guys, I would not be surprised if Michigan takes this whole championship. And I'm rooting maybe against the grain here that Wichita State beats Louisville and it'll be a Michigan-Wichita State championship game, and Michigan takes it all. But you guys may have heard this question before. It's been bounced around here around the media this week. But the question is whether Michigan can shoot over or drive through or pass around that defense of Syracuse. And if they can do that, no pun intended, but the Orange will definitely be crushed. Well, guys, we've only got a few more minutes, especially here on Indiana Talks. We've got about 2 minutes left here. About 5 minutes left here on Indiana Talks. So we want to make sure that we get our thoughts about today's games. So we're going to start with the Louisville-Wichita State. Real quickly, Gene, what are your thoughts, X factors? What are the things you're looking for in this game?
I think the guards of Wichita State are definitely good enough, and the small forwards for Wichita State are definitely good enough to make this a pretty interesting game. The problem is that Wichita State has an advantage on most teams when they get moving the ball. When they start getting out in transition, when they start getting a quarter-court trap or half-court situation where they can slow you down a little bit and then get the skeeter bugs in there to start taking the ball away and moving the ball up the court, they do a good job getting out the break, getting out the sides, moving the sidelines. That's when they're really good. The problem is that Louisville does it better than them, and that's what they like to do too. So the very kind of game that they would like to push is pushing it against a team that is bigger and better at it. And that's the problem that Louisville gives for Wichita State. Where being out of the game is not going to affect them offensively all that much, and because of that, I think the Cardinals are going to win this basketball game. But they're not going to win it just because they're a high seed and Wichita State isn't. They've already proved they can hang with teams. But I agree that the kind of team that they're playing, Ohio State wasn't like Louisville. I mean, maybe you could say they resembled them with a point guard and whatever, and Deshaun Thomas. But Louisville plays a slicker style of basketball. I like the Cardinals in this game for sure.
One thing I want to point out here real quickly, and then I'll get your thoughts, Josh. At 10:58, that's about 3 minutes from now, we're actually going to lose our stream from Indiana Talks. So if you're listening to us on Indiana Talks, we're running a little bit late. Go to our Twitter or our Facebook. We've got the link up there for Blog Talk Radio, and we're running a little bit late because of our surprise guest today. You guys weren't on with that, but Matt Yocum of Fox Sports, of NASCAR Fox Sports, joined us, of course, also with Walter Cox of ESPN, joined us to talk NASCAR. And when you get a guy like Matt Yocum that just pops up and says, "Hey, I'll come on your show," and there at the last minute, you kind of got to push everything back. So we're running a few minutes late. So if you're on Indiana Talks at 10:58, you're going to lose the stream. Go ahead and go on over to Blog Talk Radio, and you can finish it up. And of course, we'll have everything in the archives as well. Josh, go ahead. Your thoughts on the Louisville Wichita State game? Josh, are you there?
Yes, sorry, I'm having a bit of technical difficulty at the moment, but
yeah, you and your $2 Obama phone. Come on, brother. Go ahead.
But I was saying, I like Wichita State. They're a Cinderella team, although I don't really know if you can call them a Cinderella team. And since they're in the Final Four, Louisville's bigger, stronger, faster, quicker, more talented, play a tougher schedule. And I'm gonna say that I told you this first. Based on, you know, watching Rick Pitino for several years and watching what type of coach he is, and I want to get Gene and your opinion on this. I just get a feeling he might be just about done at Louisville, and this might be his last big hurrah, too. So I think it's going to be too much for Wichita State. They're a great team. Greg Marshall has nothing to feel bad about. He deserves a bigger job. Hopefully he won't be Andy Enfield and leave the very next day. In fact, I don't even know if he flew back to Florida Gulf Coast. But, I just get a feeling Rick Pitino's done.
Hey, hey, Josh, Brad Stevens going to Louisville. I couldn't resist, buddy. You opened the door wide open for me on that one.
Gene, any thoughts on Pitino leaving?
I don't think Pitino's going to leave. He's got all that Goldman Sachs money firmly entrenched into Louisville now, so I'm not really sure he's going to go anywhere. But I will say this, though. If he was going to leave, he would be on a high note, so you got a point there.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he does leave, guys, you know that the Pitino name is not leaving Louisville. Pitino Jr. is going to take over down there.
Pitino Jr. just took over Minnesota.
See, that shows you how much I don't know. Thanks, Josh. Don't you have some mini marathon stuff to do there, Josh? No, I'm just kidding. Guys, you're probably losing us on Indiana Talks if you haven't already. And welcome those that may have joined us over here on Blog Talk Radio for the next 5 minutes or so. All right, guys, we're going to move on to the other game, the X Factors, things you're looking at. Maybe some of the things that really aren't being talked about in the mainstream media. We'll go ahead and go with you, Gene. And if you lose our stream on Blog Talk Radio, don't worry. Everything's archived, and we're recording everything, so don't worry about it. Go ahead, Gene.
I think Michigan, it's more about Michigan today than it is Syracuse. And I think that it's just the kind of game that Michigan chooses to play. If Michigan forces tempo, if Michigan runs, if Michigan gets out and just goes. And even if they're missing a couple shots, they don't abandon their game plan, they don't get gun shy. If they do all those kind of things, they can beat Syracuse. But if they dare try to play a half-court game with Syracuse, my goodness, they're not going to win this basketball game. If they slow this thing down, the Orange are going to win regardless, because to me, it's more about their zone than it is about anything else. But if Michigan pushes tempo and keeps pushing tempo and keeps pushing tempo and keeps pushing tempo, they can beat the Orange. And I think they will.
All right, Josh, go ahead.
Well, I think Michigan will ultimately win this game. I do think Syracuse knows they have to about done. And here's something we don't have a whole lot of time to get into. I did admit say I wanted to get Gene's thoughts on it. So, Gene, Mike Rice gets crucified for it. A scandal. Using the gay slur. That slur is the reason he got fired. None of the physical activity is the ultimate reason he got fired. That being said, why is it 4 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, whenever the brackets were drawn up, we would talk about Boeheim being involved in a scandal. He didn't get fired, and now the national media forgot about that. Even though last week they would send a letter of allegations, it wasn't brought up.
Well, and Josh, I apologize. We have lost Gene. Gene needed to go, so it's just you and I. We're going to finish up the show here. And some of the things I wanted to get into that we're not going to be able to get into is the number one seeds. Is that becoming a rarity in March Madness? And I going back to Wichita State, I think they're going to make a rare run. I actually believe they're going to beat Louisville. And I tell you what, Syracuse's defense has just been ridiculous, maybe in a good way. But non-state school, what? I don't know. One thing I wanted to talk about real quickly, and we have officially ran out of time, so we're now on our archive portion of the show. But try to follow, if you will, because this is a difficult word. Wichita State is the first school with state, but not an actual state name in its university title, to make the Final Four since Memphis, which is no longer has state in its title, which was achieved defeat in 1985. Thoughts?
Well, that's an awesome accomplishment. They're also the first Missouri Valley Conference team to make the Final Four since Larry Bird and Indiana State did it back in 1979. That being said, Greg Marshall, you have nothing to feel bad about on Wichita State. Tom, I wish I could join you in picking them to beat Louisville, but I see no reason to make that pick.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Josh, that's going to do it for us for today. We're going to real quickly get your thoughts on the national championship game. Who's going to be the national champion and March Madness this year?
I think it's going to be Louisville over Syracuse on Monday night.
All right, guys, I think it's going to be Michigan and Wichita State in the final game, and I think Michigan's going to take it all. That's going to do it. We thank our guest, Walter Cox of ESPN, the surprise visit from Matt Yoakam of Fox Sports, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, Gene Walker of Indiana Talks, and Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Guys, we got to go. Remember, March Madness picks up again tonight, 6:06 p.m. on CBS. We'll be right back next week. Oh, remember, on Thursday, we've got our Major League Baseball show called The Hot Corner, and that debuted on Thursday, so it'll be live right here on Blog Talk Radio, guys. We appreciate you joining us. Remember, don't drink and drive. It ain't cool. And when your team wins, be good sports. Don't go out there and burn tires and all that crazy stuff. Guys, we don't have time to get into that. We'll see you next week.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.